Holy Spirit laboratory. We have talked about so far, we've talked about who the Holy Spirit is. We've talked about it, that He's a person. He is God. We've talked about some of the stuff that He does, like pointing us to Jesus, how He guides us. We've talked about the role of the Holy Spirit in prayer and in our life. We've been specifically trying to learn to wait more. Has anybody been picking up on that? Have you been trying to put that into your life a little more, of learning to just pause a little bit before praying and just let God direct your prayer life? We've been talking about the things that the Holy Spirit produces in our life. In particular, we talked about holiness. And we talked about the fruit of the Spirit, of what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Last week, we kind of just began to dabble a little bit in the spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, and we talked specifically about the gift of tongues. And for those of you who missed this, last week we did something a little unusual for us. We prayed for people to receive the gift of tongues. And I mean, I would still love to hear from any of you who want to talk about this. I have heard that there were the gift. It happened. It actually happened. That's like
what? That means we've got to the point where we're now a full service church. You know, we can do it all. That's like so cool.
Some of you. And it's funny because I kind of had this sense last Thursday, and I should have shared it, but I almost felt like God was planting seeds in some of you, and that during the week you might begin to see some things sprout. I heard that somebody, you know, got a few syllables, but they started thinking, they talked themselves out of it because they told themselves they were crazy. Well, everybody goes through that. I don't know anybody who's ever had the gift of tongues who, well, there might be some strange people out there, but I don't know, most of us think we're totally nuts when it happens. Use the gift. Practice the gift. Stretch the gift. Don't be discouraged with just one or two syllables. That's how it starts. That's how a baby learns to talk, is just with a few syllables. Babies don't, remember we talked last week, they don't come out with 4 score and 7 years ago. They don't do that. They talk, but they just have little few little syllables. So I want to encourage you, those of you, and you know what? Those of you who didn't get anything, that's okay. That's totally cool. God is the one who decides who gets what. Don't condemn yourself by any means. I just think it's the coolest thing that you're open. I think it's the coolest thing that you're open. So tonight, we're going to do something a little different. This is kind of the end, wrapping up the series on the Holy Spirit. And I thought I would take it a strange, man, I'm already way behind. Oh, man. We'll talk about the fragrance of the Holy Spirit. The Bible uses oil as a picture of the Holy Spirit. Look what happens when Samuel anointed little David to be king. He poured oil on his head, and it says in 1 Samuel 16:13. It says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. You see a picture here of a connection between oil and the Spirit. You will see this throughout the Scriptures. You will hear Christians talk from time to time about someone who has an anointing, they will call it. Some Christians will use this phrase, and they're talking about that the Spirit works with this person, that God has touched this person in some way. In the Bible, the phrase anointed means somebody's had oil poured on them or oil smeared on them. That's what the word anointing means. It means somebody's been greased up with oil. And in the Bible, it tends to be the anointed person is someone who has been picked out, chosen by God for a special task. Kings and priests were considered anointed. You will see oil being used in the Scripture in a symbolic, religious manner. In some other places, for example, in James 5:14, is let him call for the elders of the church, let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, what's that all about? My best guess is that is that with the oil being a picture of the Holy Spirit, is we're asking God's Spirit to be on this person. And God heals people this way sometimes. John refers to the Holy Spirit's work as the anointing. He says, 1 John 2:27, "But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone should teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, just as it has taught you, you will abide in him." He's saying this anointing will teach you. You don't need that somebody, that you have to go to this church and listen to this special pastor. Be careful about that. Because when you have opened your heart to Jesus and when you've opened your life to the work of the Spirit can teach you. Now, don't get me wrong. Keep coming to church. Church is good. It's good to get taught. There's a gift of teaching that God uses. It's a good thing to be taught. But you know what? The Spirit wants to teach you. And here he uses that word anointing. See, that connection, that smearing, that oily stuff will teach you, he says. When we talk about the Holy Spirit and oil, it's important that you understand what kind of oil. We're not talking Texas crude. Okay? That's kind of important. When God taught Moses to set up this tabernacle thing in the wilderness and to start the proper worship, he gave Moses a recipe for the oil. So let's look at Exodus chapter 30. We're going to pull a few lessons out of Exodus chapter 30. Exodus 30, verses 22 to 33. So flip open your Bibles. Exodus 30. It says, moreover, Exodus 30, verse 22. In fact, you're not going to see this on here, so you're going to need to look this up in your Bible. I didn't put this on the screen. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Also take for yourself quality spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much sweet-smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels, 250 shekels of sweet-smelling cane, 500 shekels of cassia, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil." Now, those are all measurements, weights and liquid measures. "And you shall make from these a holy anointing oil." That does sound like something from Robin and Batman. Holy anointing oil, Batman. Sorry. I always have to say that. It says, you make from these a holy anointing oil, an ointment compounded according to the art of the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. Now, a couple of the ingredients. He mentions myrrh. That comes from the dried up sap of a certain kind of tree, and it's this brownish substance. You see it throughout the scripture. It will be used in this anointing oil. In Mark 15, it's mixed with wine to become almost a drug they offered Jesus on the cross, and he says, "I don't want any of that." You will see it used in embalming dead people. That's John chapter 19. It's a fragrant substance. It mentions cinnamon. The Hebrew word is kinnamon. That's like almost like they took it from the Hebrew word. That's right. They took it from the Hebrew word. That's where the word cinnamon comes from. It comes from this. Cinnamon, it says, and sweet-smelling cane is like sugar. It's kind of starting to sound like cinnamon toast to me. Does anybody like the smell of cinnamon toast? Anybody? Nobody? Yes. All right. Yes, 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 yes. Cassia apparently seems to be something similar to cinnamon. One of the things I read is it was a rough kind of a cinnamon. And it says you mix this stuff according to the art of a perfumer. This is like a perfume. They're mixing these spices, these smelly substances, with olive oil to make this oil like a perfume. Does anybody want to smell myrrh? Okay. You want to smell myrrh, come to the center aisle and I'll put some on your nose. Here. This is holy anointing oil. Anybody else want to smell it? Want to smell it? Okay. And actually, this is myrrh and frankincense. Kind of smells Christmassy, doesn't it? Anybody else want it? Oh, okay. There we go. Here we go. Can you smell it? Okay, anybody else? Okay. Honk, honk, honk. Anybody else want some oil? Some. Okay. Yeah. It's here. So we'll just. This is a full sensory thing here. There we go. Okay. Anybody? Did you guys? Would you?
Yeah. So did Susan.
So there we go. Okay. Did you get it? Anybody else you can't catch it with? Yeah. Okay. It's a sweet smell. That's actually, I got to tell you, just to be fully full disclosure, that's myrrh and frankincense. So it's the two of them together. Frankincense isn't in this thing. If you want to know what this exact stuff is, you're not going to get it from me. Because you're going to find out later, God says, don't make this for yourself. But you have a little bit of this smell on you. You're going to have cinnamon, sugar mixed into this. Okay? Is this a bad smell? No, it's not. It's kind of okay. It kind of smells okay, doesn't it? It's a sweet smell. When God designed this symbolic oil, He didn't ask Moses to use stinkweed and skunks. This is a picture of the Holy Spirit. He's not a skunk. He doesn't stinketh. Smells good. I mean, I'd be okay with. I mean, this. It's kind of nice. He used sweet-smelling spices. The work of the Holy Spirit is a thing of beauty. There's a fragrance to our lives when we walk in the Spirit. There's supposed to be a thing of beauty in our lives, something attractive, when we walk, when we yield to the Spirit. Some people have this notion that they have to be cranky and obnoxious to be a righteous Christian. I got news for you. You're wrong. There should be something attractive. Okay, here's one of my really strange, crazy things. I have always smelled a fragrance at Costa Mesa, Calvary Costa Mesa, ever since I've gone there as a kid. I don't know if anybody else has ever smelled the smell. Does anybody have a clue what I'm talking about? You walk into the sanctuary. Maybe it doesn't happen anymore. Now they've got the new chairs. Maybe that's the new thing. I don't know. It's been a few years since I've been there. But every time we would go down there, there is a fragrance in that place. I kind of used to think, well, maybe it's the head usher has a really strong cologne or something. I also thought maybe there must be some kind of cleaning fluid that they use in the place, you know, when they polish the pews or something. Our buddy Drew, our missionary in Moscow, used to be the head janitor in the sanctuary, in the church. And I asked him this a couple years back. I said, Drew, how come, what's with the smell? Where does it come from? He says, we don't use anything special. I know I'm freaky, I'm weird, but to me, it's just always been a thing to me that God leaves a fragrance. God leaves, there's a beauty about the lives. The problem is that sometimes our lives get a little bit stinky. There's a story about a young pastor. He was making farewell visits to his congregation because he was moving to a bigger church. And he started visiting his members of his church, and he went to this one old lady who's a housebound person, wasn't able to get out much, and he explained to her why he was leaving, and the woman sighed deeply and said, "Ah, well, we'll never have another minister as good as you've been." The young man blushed, scuffing his feet on the floor. "Oh, I'm sure your next pastor will be excellent." The woman shook her head with determination. No, you don't understand," she said. "I've been here through 5 pastors, and each one is worse than the last." Sometimes we've got a little stink to our lives, and we don't even smell it ourselves. You've probably known people like that, right? Where there's just, you know, it's like they didn't use their deodorant this month, you know, and They are oblivious to it, right? We get that way about ourselves. Have you, over the last 6 weeks, have you been opening your life more to the Spirit? Are you making that a purpose in your life, to be a little more open to the things of the Spirit? Have you? Have you been trying to do some of these things that we're talking about, waiting on the Lord? Exercising the gifts? Anybody? Yes, I know yes. Don't forget that one of the results of the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's part of this fragrance of the Spirit. Some of you, as you are learning to yield to the Lord, and as God begins to use you, whether it's with the gift of tongues or in some other way that God's beginning to work, pay attention, beloved. Don't get caught in the stink of pride. Don't get caught in the stink of pride, thinking that you have arrived. Because you're going to begin to stink like, well, I'll get out. I remember when... I was a teenager when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and some friends and I, we spoke in tongues, and we were just all excited about God working in our lives. And we wanted God to work in everybody's lives, and we were determined to make sure that everybody in the Baptist church spoke in tongues. And we were a little bit proud. Just a little bit proud. Because we were the ones that had it. And there were others that didn't. Don't go down that road, beloved. Tongues is at the bottom of the list of gifts. It's good. Don't get me wrong. It's good. But don't let pride come in and let you become stinky. President Woodrow Wilson tells a story. He says, I was in a very common place. I was sitting in a barber chair when I became aware that a personality had entered the room. A man had come in quietly upon the same errand as myself to get a haircut. He sat in the chair next to me. Every word the man uttered showed a personal interest in the man who was serving him. Before I got through with what was done for me, I was aware that I had attended an evangelistic service because Mr. Dwight Lyman Moody was in the chair next to me. Great, great evangelist, end of the 1800s. Woodrow Wilson says this. He says, I purposely lingered in the room after he left and noted the singular effect that his visit had brought upon the barbershop. They didn't know his name, but they knew that someone had elevated their thoughts, and I thought that I left that place as I should have left the place of worship. My admiration and esteem for Mr. Moody became very deep indeed. I'll bet there was a sweet fragrance in that shop. Dwight Moody knew about the Holy Spirit. He writes about experiencing the work of the Holy Spirit in a beautiful way. I'm touched by that story. I like that story. I want there to be a fragrance about me more than there is. Let's go back to our text, verse 26 of Exodus 30. The word for anoint, to anoint, to spread a liquid. We get the word Messiah from this word. The Messiah, the word Messiah, it's Hebrew for the anointed one. Jesus, the word Christ is the Greek translation of Messiah. We call him Jesus the Christ. He's the anointed one. He's the one who's got that oily, smelly stuff. I like the way that smells. He's the anointed one, the one who has the oil on him for a purpose, because he's been set apart for something awesome. You shall, it says, with it you shall, so with this oil you shall anoint the tabernacle of meeting, the ark of the testimony, and the table and all its utensils, the lampstand and its utensils, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, the laver and its base. You shall consecrate them that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them must be holy. Now it says you shall consecrate them. The word for consecrate is kadash. That's the root word for the Hebrew word for holy, becoming holy. You will consecrate these things. You make these things holy with this oil. You set them apart. This is how they get their I can't think tonight. This is how they get their initiation into being used. Is that they have this oil on them. They're being consecrated, being prepared, set apart for God's use. And he says in verse 29, he says, whatever touches them must be holy. Now that's the way the New King James translates it. Some of the other translations have a little different slant on it. They make give you the idea that touching these things makes a person holy. After these things have been anointed, that if I go and I touched one of these things, then I become holy. It's a little different slant. The other translations, like New American Standard, New King James, Old King James, give the other idea that if you are going to touch those things, you better be holy first. And I have to tell you, I kind of favor that idea. I think that's the idea here, because it's all about holiness. This is what the Spirit does. He, the oil, makes things holy. We've already talked about this. We've talked about this a couple weeks ago. This is one of the things that the Holy Spirit does. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that chapter we talked about how about staying away from immorality. Why? Because God wants you to be holy. And then he says at the end of that passage in 1 Thessalonians 4:8, he says, therefore, he who rejects this rejects not man, does not reject man, but God who has given us his Holy Spirit. See, God wants to produce, he wants to work holiness in us. And that's one of the things the Holy Spirit does. Now, I got to tell you that the longer you are a Christian, you're going to go through times where you're quite disillusioned with other Christians. You're going to find out there are some Christians, even some leading Christians, who are quite huge jerks. In fact, what's most distressing is that often these are people who are connected, who claim to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember back in the 80s, big name, Jim and Tammy Faye Baker. And I don't know how many of you are aware of this whole thing. Big TV ministry, tele-evangelist, big on the work of the Holy Spirit, big on the faith and prosperity doctrines. And you know, the thing came out that he was actually having affairs. He was spending the church's money and all this kind of stuff. He was convicted in 1989, sent to prison. While he was in prison, he was given a sentence of 45 years. While he was in prison, he read the Bible all the way through for the first time. That's a shame. Isn't that a shame? First time he reads the Bible all the way through, and he realizes, I was wrong on all this stuff. He got out after 5 years. He's been on parole. Still owes $6 million in back taxes. But the things I hear about him kind of sound good. It sounds like God woke him up in prison. Kind of looked like that. The latest thing, this fellow named Ted Haggard. I don't know if you were aware of this. He was the pastor of one of the largest churches in the nation in Colorado. And head of the National Association of Evangelicals, kind of spoke for us. A charismatic, Holy Spirit-filled kind of guy. And in 2006, it came out that he's actually had been involved with a 3-year-long affair with a male prostitute. A male prostitute, along with doing drugs. And you can look at this stuff and think, what's going on here? What's this all about? Some people get up and walk away from the Lord on that kind of stuff. Experiencing the power or the baptism of the Holy Spirit does not automatically make you holy. That's the mistake people make. They say, okay, I've been filled with the Spirit. I even speak in tongues. And now that's it. I don't have to worry about anything else. And I let down my guard. No, no, no. I need to yield to the Holy Spirit. I need to let Him continue to affect me and to change me, because He wants to work in my life. He wants to work holiness into my life. It doesn't just come automatically. Somebody lays hands on you and they cast out the demon of lust. It doesn't work. Because the problem is your flesh is lusting. And you can't cast that out. You're stuck with that till the day you die. You have to learn to crucify that sucker. You have to learn to say no. You have to learn to keep yielding to the Holy Spirit. Holiness is a part of the fragrance. We need to work that into our lives. Verse 30, he says, "And you shall anoint Aaron and his sons, consecrate them that they may minister to me as priests." He talks about anointing Aaron. And in fact, everything, if you read it, is like everything gets greased up. Everything gets oiled up. Everything. The pieces of the furniture all get oiled up. But Aaron and his sons all get oiled up. Everything's got this. You walk into the tabernacle and it's everywhere. I think in a practical sense, I think it's a good thing that everything that we do, let's say everything in this church, we ought to be praying, we ought to be yielding to the Lord, we ought to spend time to say, God, we need your help, whether it's directing the elders meeting or whether it's vacuuming the carpets. Everything needs to be oiled with the Holy Spirit. Whether you're teaching Sunday morning with the adults, or whether you're carrying the babies in the nursery. The oil needs to be everywhere. Lately the big thing in the... John 4:24, God is spirit. Those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's a part of our life. Worshiping in the Spirit. One of the biggest news items lately has been this big... You know what that's a picture of? The Gulf oil spill. And when the spill is made up of crude oil, it's pretty gross. Wouldn't it be cool if we had a different kind of oil spill? But not with crude oil, but with the oil of the Holy Spirit. Verse 31 says, "And you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil to me throughout your generations. It shall not be poured on man's flesh, nor shall you make any other like it. According to its composition, it is holy, and it shall be holy to you. Whoever compounds any like it, or whoever puts any of it on an outsider, shall be cut off from his people." Now, the whole point here is that the Holy Spirit is not supposed to... The anointing oil is not supposed to become the latest fad in perfumes. You know, you go to now, I don't know whether you shop for your perfume at Walmart or at Nordstrom's, but none of those places you should see holy anointing oil scented perfume. It's not to be the latest scent of bathroom deodorizer. It's different than this. It's holy. It's for God's use only, and there are to be no imitations. No imitations. The mixture wasn't supposed to be copied for other uses. It's not uncommon. You will see people trying to mimic what the Holy Spirit is doing. You see it in the book of Acts. A fellow named Simon saw what was happening in Acts chapter 8, and he saw that the Holy Spirit was coming on people when Peter and John laid their hands on them. And he was blown away, and he comes up and he says, "Guys, you know, I'll pay money for this. This is a cool trick. I'd like to do this one." And they say, "Buddy, you, you, your heart's in the wrong place. I get concerned when church meetings become a manipulation of emotional emotional things to create a pseudo-spiritual response. There's a story about a traveling evangelist. Let me skip through here. About a traveling evangelist who always put on a big finale at his revival meetings. And when he was to preach at a church, he would secretly hire a small boy to sit up in the rafters. And he would have a dove in a cage. And toward the end of his sermon, the preacher would shout for the Holy Spirit to come down. And the boy was supposed to let go of the dove and have the Holy Spirit come down. And so at one revival meeting, nothing happens. And he says, Holy Spirit, come down. Nothing happens. He holds out his hand, Holy Spirit, come down. And nothing happens. And then he hears a little voice of the boy up there, and he says, Sir, a yellow cat has eaten the Holy Spirit. Do you want me to throw the yellow cat down? Years ago, when Johnny Carson was doing the Tonight Show, he had a fellow named James Randi, not a Christian, skeptic, a magician, who made it his calling to expose frauds. People who claimed to have supernatural powers were just using magician's tricks. And one of his investigations was of a televangelist named Peter Popoff. And he attended one of Mr. Popoff's crusades with a radio scanner. This is what he showed on the Tonight Show.
All right, this is the tape as you would see it if you were watching the show. Okay, watch the monitors.
Who is Harold? I just believe that God is going to burn those cataracts off of your eyes right now. 34788 Foothill Drive. I tell you, the angels of God are round about your home. Oh, just take those glasses off and put your eyes. If you've got cataracts, if you've got glaucoma, I want you just to put your hand over your eyes as I pray for these precious ones. Sister, you've got eye problems too. Take your glasses off. Lay your hands on your eyes. Here it comes. God is going to give these precious ones divine surgery. Right now, Jesus. That's the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I tell you, the anointing is flowing through this place. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay, now let's recap what we've seen here.
Right.
These two people who were there had not met Papa
That's
before
right.
themselves.
Never spoken to them.
And yet he calls out his name, and then he called out a number or something?
He called out their address.
Their address.
And they're astonished to hear this, because they didn't tell him. But what you don't know is that his wife has been touring around the audience, getting into conversation. Is Jesus going to heal you today? I see. Where do you live? This kind of thing. And they've filled out healing cards in advance of the program and handed them in. They're now backstage, and someone is sitting at a transmitter backstage. Let's see that same segment again. But now you will have the advantage of knowing what Peter Popoff is hearing in his left ear through a hearing aid.
Jerry Reed? It's a woman. She's praying for her husband, Harold.
Who is Harold?
He's got cataracts.
I just believe that God is going to burn those cataracts off of your eyes right now.
They live at 34788 Foothill Drive.
34788 Foothill Drive. I tell you, the angels of God are round about your home. Just take those glasses off and put your eyes. If you've got cataracts.
She's got eye problems too.
If you've got glaucoma, I want you just to put your hand over your eyes as I pray for these precious ones. Sister, you've got eye problems too. Take your glasses off. Lay your hands on your eyes. Here it comes. God is going to give these precious ones divine surgery. Right now, Jesus.
You know, that is, that's disturbing when you see it.
It is indeed.
You tend to laugh at it, and yet these people obviously are so impressed with what's going on.
Oh, they're absolutely impressed. You see people collapsed on the floor, tears running down their faces, believing that their kids with drug addiction are going to be healed now because he knew their name. He says he's talking to God, that God speaks directly to him because he's an anointed minister. And one, three things amaze me about that. First of all, it turns out that God's frequency, I didn't know he used radio, is 39.170 megahertz. And God is a woman, obviously, and sounds exactly like Popoff's wife, Elizabeth.
Doesn't that disturb you? Disturbs me hugely. Does this mean that God doesn't work for real? Not at all. This is the danger of the fake perfume. This is the danger of trying to imitate the work of God, and instead of experiencing the real thing. Beloved, we don't need to pretend about the things of God. If God works, then it's working in a real way. If I'm not being healed, well, it's okay. God wants to help you through what you're doing, what you're going through. But we want everything to be real. We want everything to be genuine. We don't need to pretend about the things of God. Because God's good all by himself. And then when God really works, oh man. Oh man, what a testimony that is. When God changes a life, you know, because then you see the real thing, not a fake, but the real thing. So, with that, let's see. Dave, maybe let's turn off the air conditioning. I hope we'll be okay with the air off. My wife's freezing, so we'll definitely be okay with the air off. And let's spend some time waiting on the Lord.